Good morning, Emmanuel. Welcome to our service this morning. A very warm welcome to any visitors worshipping with us today, especially if this is your first time at Emmanuel. Do please make yourself known to us afterwards and join us for a cup of tea or coffee in the hall, where the tradecraft stall will be set up. Welcome also to those listening to our service later in the week through our recorded ministry. We hope it helps you feel part of our fellowship here. Our service today will be led by our very own Reverend Jeff Gleed. Our Bible reader this morning will be Helen Marson. The prayers of intercession will be done by Jeff. Now, all the notices are in the weekly news, but I would just sort of emphasise that the Harvest Appeal 2022, the details are repeated again on page 2. It's tools for self-reliance. The details are all over there on the left. In memory of the late Bernard Phillips, it was presented last Sunday. If you wish to contribute, please place your money in the Harvest Appeal envelopes at the back of the church. If you're a UK taxpayer, please gift aid by filling in the appropriate section of the form. I will now light the Christ candle representing Jesus, the light of the world, after which we will have a few moments of quiet as we prepare for worship.
Good morning to you all. Friends, we are children of a loving, forgiving God. We are followers in the way of Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour, who is also our very best friend. So we are a people of faith and of hope. Let's together come with joy to worship our God in spirit and in truth. All our hymns today are from Rejoice and Sing, and we begin with that wonderful hymn, number 95, God is Love, and it's to the great tune, Blindwern. So we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, once again we gather here together as a very small part of your earthly family. We come to worship you, to give you thanks for all that's good in our lives and in our world. We come to sing you our praises and to hear your holy word, and to offer to you our thoughts and prayers, safe in the knowledge that you are always with us, always ready to hear our thoughts and our prayers, the concerns we have. We come to remember people and places which especially are on our minds at this time. And as the peace candle already lit reminds us, we are living in a world that is so difficult to understand. So, Lord God, grant that we might feel the love of those around us here today, and your love which enfolds us, not just now, but as we leave. Hear us, we pray, in a moment or two of quiet, as we come to offer you those things in our lives which we feel we need to share, situations, conversations, world problems that, yes, need all our power to ask that there be a change in the way this earth is lived in. So we will be still, so that we can not only talk to you, but we can hear you speaking to us. We would be still. Friends, may we each know that through Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, all things are possible, that change can come, and we can be part of that. In the name of Jesus we pray, and together we join in the words he taught his disciples as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. We're going to sing our next hymn, number 371, Take My Life, after which we will have our offering, the dedication, and say the grace, Don MacArthur leading us in that. And after that, the choir will sing the anthem, Ye Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim. But first the hymn, number 371.
Take my life, as it is in love, sing praise him, love's glory. gifts of money which we have brought today or which we have given in other ways. Use what we have given and use us too to help reveal your love throughout the world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And now we share the grace together as we say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
This morning's reading, Bible reading, is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. And if you want to follow it, it can be found on page 33 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. Now, after John the Baptizer was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went a little farther and saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much indeed, Helen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I wonder how many of us here today have heard before the story of Jesus calling his disciples to come and follow him. Well, most, if not all of us, I would suspect. And in fact, you know, I reckon that we've heard it or read it quite a few times over the years, probably more than we care to remember, in fact. So you could be forgiven right from the very beginning for already giving a great big sigh and thinking, here we go again. But I'm making no apology, friends, for what I want to share with you this morning, because I think we do need to remind ourselves how to follow Jesus from time to time. Whether we're young or old or somewhere in between, I'm sure that we will each have, in our own way, an understanding of what following Jesus involves. And I don't know about you, but I firmly believe that ours should not be a blind, unquestioning, slavish following, but a well thought out, reasoned argument as to what our faith and trust in Jesus actually means, of how it helps us to live our lives and gives us strength and meaning and purpose to carry on. Of course, there's no one right way of doing this. Our faith journeys take on so many different forms, depending on so many factors we've experienced as individuals throughout our life, don't they? We each can, in our own way, show others that we are following in the footsteps of Jesus. And as a follower, there is no doubt that we will each reveal something, just something, please God, of the nature of Christ. But we will do this in our own particular way, our own style, if you like. Just take some time, asking over this coming week to think about how you have in the past and how you might go on in the future to reveal Jesus to others. How might you do that? You know, as I was writing this reflection, there were four words that came immediately into my mind. It was all about how I might review my Christian faith, and I thought that these words were helpful to me. The first one was speaking. When I speak, what things do I say which are hurtful? And what words do I speak which could be very helpful and supportive? Then there was listening. Do I listen enough to what others might be saying? My wife would say probably not. But I also need to listen to what God is saying to me. It's a case of be still my soul, isn't it? My third word was actions. Am I doing the right things for all the right reasons? There's a notice that's been in our church, and I think it's actually still on one of the boards outside in the back of the premises, that reminds us that the time is always right to do the right thing. The time is always right to do the right thing. So we've got speaking, listening, actions. Then the final word I came up with, I don't know whether you can guess it or not, but was attitude. What is my attitude, my behavior, my approach to, say, my family, my friends, to neighbours, work colleagues, even those who belittle or laugh and mock my faith? What's my attitude towards things like justice and wealth? Heard a lot about that this week, haven't we? What about my attitude to refugees and asylum seekers? Where do I stand? What is my attitude on the care of creation? What about those who are addicts or who sleep on our streets? To me, you see, it's addressing such issues as these from time to time which can help us to revise our thinking and our actions. And clearly, we won't all come up with the same conclusions to such questions. Of course we won't. Sadhu Sundar Singh, who I've spoken about on at least one occasion in the past, was a Christian missionary. He was born in 1889, and he said these words, "I know I'm not worthy to follow in the steps of my Lord, but like him, I want no home, no possessions. Like him, I will belong to the road, sharing the suffering of my people, eating with those who will give me shelter, and telling all people of the love of God." And throughout his life, he was widely travelled, doing just that. He made many, many journeys, travelling across the Punjab and Kashmir, Afghanistan, Tibet, Bombay, Palestine, onwards to Burma and Malaya, China, Japan, the USA, Australia, and even here to Little Britain. He wrote 8 books, mostly on spirituality and faith, and not surprisingly, because of all the walking he did, he was known as the Apostle of the Bleeding Feet. And that's not a swear word. Now, Sundar Singh was an exceptional follower of Jesus. You'd have to admit that from what I've just told you. And I don't know about you, but I, for one, couldn't ever hope to live up to his calling. God bless him. But when talking about this Bible reading of what it means to follow Jesus, Singh said this, and I think it's really interesting. "The same breath is blown into a flute, cornet, trumpet, or bagpipes. But different music and different sounds are produced according to the different instruments. And in the same way, the one Spirit of God works in us, his children, by producing different results. God is glorified through them according to one's temperament and personality." I think he talks good sense here, frankly. Think about that Bible reading we heard, and then about yourself. When Jesus asked people to follow him, he didn't go on to check their credentials, as far as we know. Yes, he called them to repent and believe, but there's no evidence generally that he would then check to see if they had repented. He hoped they believed, of course. He knew that there were all sorts of doubts in many of their minds. But for most people, he only said 2 words, "Follow me." Some people need a blinding light or a particular Bible reading, perhaps an exceptional, unexplained experience. But you know, there's actually no gold standard that everyone has to reach before they can be called a disciple, a follower in the way. You've only got to look at the varied personalities of those first disciples to see that. Simon Peter, well, when we read about him, we know he was impulsive. James, son of Zebedee, was ambitious. He was very short-tempered, but deeply committed to Jesus. John, son of Zebedee, was also ambitious, but he was very judgmental. Andrew was always keen to bring other people to Jesus. Philip, had a very questioning attitude. Matthew, well, he was, as we know, very much despised as an outcast from society because of his dishonest career. Bartholomew, well, he was pretty honest and straightforward from what we've read. And Thomas, well, he was very courageous, but always having doubts. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, well, they were pretty meek-minded from what I've seen. And Simon the Zealot, as his name implies, was fiercely, fiercely patriotic. And as for Judas Iscariot, well, I think you have to make up your own mind on him. Whatever their characters, their personalities, their attitudes, Jesus was able to use them for the bringing in of his kingdom. And most of them continued to work for its growth after Jesus had left them physically. And they did that, of course, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So to finish my thinking for today, let's remind ourselves that however uncertain, however inadequate, or perhaps even, as we might think, unworthy, we might feel about proclaiming the faith, it's Jesus who's called us flutes, cornets, trumpets, bagpipes, to follow him, to play out those different ways of showing the love of Jesus in our lives to the world around us. You don't need me to tell you, friends, do you, that the world desperately needs good leaders. And Jesus is the one from whom I take my lead. And having done so, yes, I'm going to gladly follow him. How about you? Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, I couldn't have any other choice of a hymn, could I? But the one we're now going to have, which is 558, Will You Come and Follow Me? So we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. I mean, I know that there are so many people and situations we should pray for, but I'm confident that God already knows what's in our minds and in our hearts. So I want to guide our prayer time today in a slightly different way. I want to share some prayers in the words of other people. They're very short prayers, and there will be a short period of silence between each prayer. Join with me in prayer. First of all, a prayer by Carl Micklin, who was a minister in the United Reformed Church. Give to me, Lord, a thankful heart and a discerning mind. Give, as I play the Christian's part, the strength to finish what I start and act on what I find. When, in the rush of days, my will is habit-bound and slow, help me to keep in vision still what love and power and peace can fill a life that trusts in you. And a prayer from the Barnabas Aid Charity. Gracious Lord, when war and violence surround us, when death is on every side, when disease stalks the lands, when sickness and sorrow fill the air, our times are in your hands. Help us to trust in you. When disaster has descended, storm, tempest, earthquake, floods and drought, and when famine ravages the earth, when food is gone and children cry for bread, and all seems lost, our times are in your hands. Help us to trust in you. When there is persecution on every side, when family and friends reject and betray, and some authorities throughout the world punish people, even to the point of death, for apparently no reason, gracious Lord, keep us, your people, faithful. Help us always to trust in you. A prayer from the United Reformed Church. In this year of Jubilee, loving, faithful God, lead us by your Spirit to witness to our faith in Christ. May what we do build up the fellowship of the church. May how we live speak his word to the world. May what we say testify to our life in Jesus. So that as we know and love him more, others may come to know and love him too. Collect for today, the 15th Sunday after Trinity. God, who in generous mercy sent your Holy Spirit upon your church, grant that your people may be forever fervent in fellowship of the gospel, and that always abiding in you, they may be found steadfast in faith and love, following Jesus, their Saviour and Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And finally, a prayer from a Spanish mystic Carmelite nun, the words of which I'm sure you know. Two prayers, in fact. St. Teresa of Avila tells us that Christ has no body now but ours, no hands or feet but ours. For ours are the eyes with which he sees, the feet with which he walks. Ours are the hands with which he blesses the world. So St. Teresa says, let nothing distress you. Let nothing affright you. Everything passes. God does not change. Patient endeavor accomplishes all things. Whoever has God needs nothing besides. God is enough. Lord, help us to seek to follow in the footsteps of your beloved Son. Amen. Don will do the blessing for us in a moment, but first we're going out on 574, go forth and tell the greatness of the Lord. No, that's not right. Church of God Awake. I knew it was the wrong words. Right.
Loving God, lead us out into the world, renewed in faith, in hope, and in purpose. Send us back to live and work for you, sharing your love and living your life. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.